disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders. For they, and here's what they did, for they washed not their hands when they eat. Uh-oh, that sounds pretty bad to me. Right there. I can tell. Something's wrong. Verse 3. But he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Verse 4. For, now Jesus gives his explanation. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But ye say, here's the contrast, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus he hath made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions, or tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 10. Call the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So then came his disciples, said to him, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? He answered, he doesn't answer the disciples directly. He kind of just goes right to the message. Well, the Pharisees were offended, Jesus. So Jesus doesn't back up and say, ooh. He doesn't say, pardon me. No, no. Verse 13. That every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. The blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? And now he's going to repeat what he just said. Verse 17. Same, almost the same words in verse 11. Verse 17. Do not yet ye understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defile not a man. Okay? So, I mean, kind of a easy lesson, so to speak. Jesus already gives the gives the meaning. So here it is. So even when I put in your notes, I took it exactly from the quarterly, right in order of what the quarterly gives, the three, four main sections after the introduction. Jesus is accused. Number two, Jesus teaches. I put in bold caps. He teaches Jewish leaders, then the multitude. In verse 3, Jesus explains, and now he addresses the disciples. So he addresses three different groups of people in this text. Jewish leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, the multitude, then the disciples. And then he makes the application. Of course, you already know from the lesson, and even in the introduction in the quarterly, page 27, I guess I better mention that, I didn't do that yet. But page 27 in your quarterly. Traditions, and he said in the introduction, are not good or bad just by themselves. Traditions. considered okay until it becomes what Jesus describes here. Three things about traditions Jesus mentions. When they violate God's law, or when those traditions become a commandment, here are the verses. Now go back and read them. Three verses. You want to write these in your margin or something, but here's something about tradition. In verse 3, Matthew 15, verse 3, Jesus said, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Verse 6, the last half of the verse, this is not in the quarterly. Verse 6, Jesus said, "Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Verse 9, Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Traditions become wrong when they are applied to these three areas. When that tradition, number one, transgresses it, verse 3, when it transgresses the commandment of God, when it causes the commandment of God to be of none effect, in verse 6, and then in verse 9, when it becomes a commandment of God, it makes your worship vain, or like the words of no effect. Traditions are fine until they become commandments. So those three things Jesus said, that's the result. If you make your tradition a commandment, you transgress God's word, you make the commandment of God of no effect, and our worship becomes vain. Those three things. Comment or question first? He also mentioned in the on top of page 28, just about the word traditions, because sometimes people think, "Oh, your traditions are, you can't have traditions, really." Don't you know, after a certain amount of time, everything's a tradition if you do it the same way over and over again. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, the very top of page 28, Paul said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you were taught." Hold the traditions that you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. I don't know what those traditions are. All I'm saying. But just in the context of what we're talking about today, there's some things that, and no doubt he told them to do, like make worship on the first day of the week. But the tradition was, didn't say about the meeting hour. Don't know exactly all the specifics. We're not told about all the specifics of certain things. But Paul did say, you know, remember what I told you about what to do? That's a tradition that I want you to keep. That's what I taught you. I wish I knew this specifics, but I don't. So don't just say, "Oh, that tradition, that must be bad." Oh, no. Some traditions are good. I like sleeping every night. Going to bed at night. That's a tradition. I like waking up in the morning. Necessity. Yeah. Luxury. Yeah. Depends on how long, maybe. So the idea of traditions. So that's the idea. So now we have a confrontation in the text, Matthew 15. The disciples of Jesus did not wash their hands according to the tradition. According to the tradition. So that's a problem. So now they're making that accusation against Jesus in the next major heading in your quarterly, where Jesus is accused. Matthew 15, verses 1 and 2. These scribes and Pharisees came from Jerusalem. I'm not sure what all the reasons would be. Maybe curiosity, or maybe just to make an accusation, or kind of head him off, or kind of slow down his ministry. Perhaps he's gaining disciples away from them, but whatever it is, they're making a journey from Jerusalem to meet Jesus. So they confronted the behavior, and in your quarterly, now they even re-quote the verse, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Well, they don't wash their hands when they eat bread. I'm not sure they were interested in hygiene. I don't gather that from the text. Because it specifically mentions you transgress disciples didn't wash. Oh, that's a bad thing. Huh? Yeah. very bottom of a paragraph on page 29 under that first section where Jesus is healing, the last sentence, or the last two sentences, for the scribes and Pharisees, oral traditions were as important as the written law of Moses. Really, to them, more important. I put that in your printed notes when I type that up. But more important than anything. I know it may not be a commandment, but this is our tradition. You can't mess up the tradition. Wow. So that's it. So now Jesus gives the part of the explanation he teaches. On page 29, the next bold part, Jesus teaches. Right in the middle of that opening paragraph, he quotes the verse that gives the teaching. This is what Jesus wants them to know about this situation. And the author of this quarterly quotes the verse. Verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man. It's not what goes in that defiles a man. You can eat. Whatever. You can eat. You may have a tradition about eating certain things, avoiding certain things, but all food is okay. You may have a personal preference for things. For whatever reason, doctor's orders, or just this is what I just like. But what goes into the mouth, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man. Eat up. No. Maybe too much of what of something that goes into the mouth. So Jesus, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. So he mentions in the same paragraph, their emphasis spoke concern about physical defilement, according to their tradition. We're talking about, they're saying, you physically defiled because you ate something that you, without washing your hands. But Jesus addresses spiritual defilement. And he does that later when he talks to the disciples. He gives a little more explanation. And then interesting too, at the bottom of page 29, Jesus turns, he's speaking to the multitude. Perhaps the Pharisees are listening in. Because he says in verse 12, the disciples came, Peter too. He says, don't you know the Pharisees were offended by this saying? So the Pharisees, rather than learning, here's the master teacher. Of course, they didn't want to recognize him as the Messiah either. They already had a problem with Jesus. So certainly going to have a problem with anything he said. And so that's what happens. Jesus gives them instruction specifically. It's not what goes into the mouth that demands. Whoa, that violates our tradition and their offense. But Jesus doesn't even answer their offense. He doesn't just kind of, oh, I didn't mean to say no. He doesn't do that. He starts his instruction. So on top of page 30, the verse continues. Jesus just, and he says in the second paragraph down from the top of page 30, Jesus responded by noting the eventual fate of his antagonist. Here's the verse 13. Every plant, none left out. A lot of times, people want to say, oh, Jesus really didn't mean what he said. Every plant, no, that's too harsh. Every plant. So how many people that includes? Wow! And so we get offended. Some do nothing. Get offended at what Jesus says. Surely he didn't mean that. That includes some of my brethren, my close friends, my physical family. Some good people I know. Pharisees are offended. Every plant that which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. In other words, obviously Jesus' teaching in that opening thing did not affect them. They were offended rather than being taught by the master teacher. So Jesus said, let them alone. Oh, we got to keep teaching. Don't cast your pearls. He doesn't give a timeline, but this is Jesus. So right on this certain situation, he's making an immediate decision. Let them alone. I'm going to let Jesus say that. Is that a good thing, Larry? So don't get offended by what Jesus said. Let's teachers of the blind. Both are blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. That doesn't mean they can't change. Don't just stop there and say, oh, it's done. They may respond later through whatever influence, more teaching, friendship, fellowship, miracles. But right now, Jesus just simply says, they're blind leaders and they're blind followers. So now Jesus gives you an explanation. And that's what we just read. So Jesus responds, the disciples came in Matthew 15, verse 17, the very middle of where Jesus explains. And he quotes the author of the quarterly, quotes the verse again. Do you not yet understand? Now, he said that twice in this story. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Kind of a delicate subject to talk about, but it gets the point across really quick. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So, continuing, Wayne Jackson has it. In other words, one's body has been designed to handle material impurities by eliminating them. The real dangers are the impurities that start in the heart and later issue in sinful actions. The Pharisees' emphasis was upon the way one washes his or her hands, and that's not nearly as important as whether one guards his or her heart. Amen. So then he gives the application there at the end. Traditions, and he gives very common ones. We worship on the first day of the week. We know that's what the disciples did. And we're not going to forsake the assembly. But the tradition is that we have is the time of meeting. The illustration of Amanda. We meet at 9:30 for Bible class, 10:30 for worship assembly. Amanda's found a congregation up close to her work in Vista, and they meet for worship at
10 o'clock.
Are they wrong? You can't meet at 10 o'clock. And if we found our tradition, 10:30 is the appointed time. When we're traveling, when we go to Woodland, you'd think I would know what time the congregation meets now, because I've been going there for decades, attending there every time we go now. But I still drive by, drive by the building just to check. And so they meet at 9 o'clock for Bible class and 10 o'clock for worship fun, because it's a lot hotter, But it's a lot hotter up there, so they make sure they get an early start. But it is tradition, the time that we meet.
It changed the time we met. We used to meet at 11 o'clock.
That's right. In those earlier, we started at 10 o'clock for Bible class and worship at 11. Hello?
I was just here. I think it's okay.
That's when he's determined that's what's okay with God, and that's his tradition, and he's set aside God's commandment, and just said, I think I'm going to put myself in the place of God. That's what I think God is okay with this.
This whole lesson is yet just another example that Jesus is talking and teaching something that's brand new. Because if you look at history, if you look at current, whatever, the whole Jewish world is based on the physical realm.
Right.
He's talking about the spiritual. They're all concerned about the physical.
Yeah.
So there's those two circles haven't yet met.
That's right.
And that's where all of the conflict comes in. Because when you look at the traditions, you look at the rules, you look at all the ceremonies and all these things, this is something that somebody looks at, well, they didn't wash their hands, they were out in the field. They went, No, you don't understand. That has nothing to do with that. Yeah, they washed when they came in, because that's what they did. They had servants that did absolutely nothing else but wait for the master to come in and wash his feet, head, and hands. And when they walked in the door, they were clean. But this there was certain things that you could not do without some sort of ceremonial washing. For one of the priests to read the Torah without first going to the bowl and washing, oh my goodness, he might have come directly from the hot spring shower, man, the cleanest in the world. But if he didn't go to that bowl, oh my gosh, you know, it's the physical fighting the spiritual that hasn't yet met in this.
What you just said about that, about the priest, and I saw it at our daughter-in-law's dad's funeral. It was they did a funeral mass,
uh-huh.
And I mean, the napkin, I mean ritual motion, pick this up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, everything. But when Jesus does, he said, when Jesus comes along, these things are brand new. So even when he teaches the parables, you know, he says, hear the lesson of the sower, or hear the lesson of the parable of the tares. And I said twice, just in this, hear and understand. Change the English. Yes?
Well, I had a discussion lately. Somebody asked the question, was Jesus a Christian? And the answer, you know,
no.
Off the top of my head, my first thought was no, Jesus was a Jew under the law of Moses. And yet, he's also, like in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, in other words, he's taking it from the outward to the heart, as far as I can see. So it's new or it's not new. If Jesus is teaching new and different, or is it just that they didn't understand what God really meant in the Old Testament in the first place?
Sometimes when people ask a question, it's not a question that can be answered yes or no. Was Jesus a Christian? Whatever side you answer that on, you're going to have to give a fairly good explanation. It's not a yes or no question. It's like someone says, have you stopped beating your wife yet? you're still beating her. So just by that question, if somebody asks, was Jesus a Christian? That's not a yes or no. It can be. The answer is no.